Andrew Holden is our media commentator. Good morning.
Good morning.
Andrew's a journalist with more than 30 years' experience, 5 as editor of The Press in Christchurch and 4 as editor-in-chief of The Age in Melbourne. Right, well, what's going on now with NZME saying it wants to buy stuff for a dollar, wants the government to take action that would facilitate that, and then Stuff turns round and tells the Stock Exchange of Australia it's terminated its talks with NZME. Walk us back to what's happened the last 24 hours.
How strange it is. As Alice in Wonderland would say, it's become curiouser and curiouser, really, hasn't it? So what we saw tomorrow was clearly a well-coordinated doublehead, if you like, from NZME. So at 9:31, they issued a market announcement saying that they'd written to the government that morning asking for special legislation to allow to buy stuff by May 31 for the princely sum of $1, plus, of course, all the liabilities that go for the 1,000 or so stuff that Stuff has. And at 9:34, all of 3 minutes later, so either the journalists are incredibly astute or they had a very good heads up, the story hits the New Zealand Herald website announcing precisely that NZME's gone to the government and sought this special legislation so that it can circumvent the Commerce Commission and allow to go ahead with the purchase. Pretty quickly, Sinead Boucher, the CEO of Stuff, comes back and says that the announcement's surprising to both Nine and ourselves. And she says we're not really sure why NZME took this step, given the clear message from our owners that there would be no transaction. And in fact, that became even more brutal when Nine Entertainment issued its own statement to the Australian Stock Exchange, saying not only that, but that it had terminated further engagement with NZME, which suggests that conversations last week got pretty toxic. That in turn, of course, prompted NZME to have to issue another statement to the New Zealand Stock Exchange saying that as far as it was concerned, it had an exclusive negotiating period with Nine and that hadn't finished. And further to that, we've seen the NZ regulation, the regulator for the New Zealand Stock Exchange, asking some questions of NZME as to why their initial statement at 9:31 hadn't mentioned the fact that the talks had broken down and there may be some further consequences. So, I mean, in simple terms, Catherine, we've got the two sides who not that many years ago were in bed together, happy to push the merger of the two companies now, basically at a fundamental standoff.
I checked in with our business team and we don't have a sort of a distressed business takeover system here where one side can have like a hostile takeover. As I understand it, there's no such process under our law, so that's not what's happening. And you can't really BS the stock exchange with what's going on. If your stuff coming out and saying we terminated talks last week, well, that means you ought to have terminated talks last week. So it leaves us with what? This being primarily a political pitch to the government, perhaps with the hopes of being able to put out a deal in front of Nine, the Stuff's owner, that it couldn't refuse?
Well, it appears that way, doesn't it? I mean, and some of the commentators have described it as NZME's attempt to bully the government into folding and saying, well, we don't want anything even worse than when Bauer Magazines closed down with a loss of 250 jobs or thereabouts. The last thing we could want is the largest employer of journalists in the country suddenly falling in a heap within 20-odd days. So if that were the case, it's clearly backfired on them, because why would the government entertain any idea of doing legislation at that speedy time when they know that the two sides are fundamentally disagreeing with each other? It puts the whole strategy in a very odd position, I've got to say, and makes you wonder where the real pressure is. I mean, the interesting element that came out further in the day is Patrick Smelly, a well-connected journalist at Business Desk. He's written a story in which he says his sources have told him that Stuff has told the government, ministers and officials here, that Stuff is prepared to shut down its business by May 31, even though they haven't said that publicly. All I can add to that is I've reached out to my sources in Australia and they're telling me that at Nine Entertainment head office in Sydney, May 31 is not a date that's being bounced around in there as the end of Stuff. So it leaves it in a very, very murky situation, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's Nine's call on closing stuff, we should be clear. Nine is the owner in Australia. That question was also put to the Prime Minister in the media conference yesterday, that had she been made aware of the end of May as a deadline for Nine threatening to close stuff, and we should say all its operations. You know, we're talking about some of the best-known mastheads, both online and in print, Dominion Post and the Christchurch Press and a whole raft of other papers as well. This would be huge. She deflected those questions, but she also said something that I found quite interesting. I'm just going to get the exact quote here. And she replied to the journalist, there are a lot of assumptions built into that question. Again, there's commercial sensitivity here, and there may be more than one group that's involved in this scenario. So it's not for me to enter into any dialogue on that further. Now, I don't know whether that refers to the two parties or whether that refers to the potential that there's a third party waiting to get in the queue.
Absolutely. At a simplistic reading, you'd say, well, she's not just talking about stuff, she's talking about NZME, so they're the two groups involved. But there's been plenty written recently around private equity in Australia showing some interest in stuff and being a potential buyer of it. And there's certainly been suggestions that Todd Scott at NBR has claimed that he's got private equity backing and he's ready for such a move, even though Nine Entertainment apparently don't want to talk to him at all. So there could be multiple players in it. I mean, again, a reason why the government arguably would show no interest in trying to resolve this by May 31. And in some respects, why wouldn't they say, well, this is private business, you can go ahead, you can declare at May 31 stuff that it's now going into receivership or it's up for sale, and you could see a whole lot of different players come into it. You could see the Smith family down in Dunedin potentially saying, well, we'll buy the Timaru Herald and the Press, and in fact any of the other South Island mastheads, and make ourselves the powerhouse of the South and see where the rest of it goes. I mean, there are certainly many different options. None of them suggest that the government has to jump into bed with NZME's demand and say, right, we'll legislate and make this happen.
What the timing also, and I appreciate it is crisis time for many businesses and we shouldn't disabuse ourselves of the self, it may well be for one of the biggest media companies in the country. That's quite possible. But the timing, what is it? 2 days, 3 days before the budget. Is that something else to be mindful of? Are they anticipating what may or may not be in the budget to help media?
It certainly suggests that, doesn't it? That you know that the initial package of support for the media industry here has been openly stated as being simply the first tranche of support, and that the budget's likely to have more in it. So again, you've got that sense of NZME, perhaps they've got some suggestions out of the Ministry of Finance or out of the minister that they deal with in terms of what the government might be saying. So are they trying to get ahead of that announcement and saying we don't think there's going to be enough in the budget on Thursday and therefore we need to push it through? I mean, the other interesting quirk in the timing here, and they'd been aware of it but probably wouldn't factor it in, is not only would they be annoying the senior executive Nine Entertainment with this kind of behaviour yesterday morning, but the CEO of Nine Entertainment, Hugh Marks, suffered a very nasty classic Murdoch privacy hit in the Sunday Telegraph, where they splashed his disintegrating marriage across the front page and had photos of Hugh and his executive assistant having a lengthy picnic in a Sydney park. So here you've got one of the most significant players in this entire deal who's just been attacked personally, and now he's finding a supposed suitor for one of his businesses playing some unusual games over here. It doesn't leave itself or lend itself to a very, very happy ending, I've got to say.
Only in Australia, but also that kind of suggests the idea that there's some kind of, I want to be careful what I say here, but you know, that perhaps stuff is looking more, Nine is looking more outraged than it might be about all this. It does not lend weight to any suggestion of that at all. All right, so was the plan?
No, I mean, we've got to remember this is business. Yeah. And things can move pretty quickly in business, and supposed enemies can all of a sudden become very good friends
well,
very quickly.
Well, that's my point. Is NZME trying to say, does it want to go back to the table saying, we've got the government on board, we're going to be able to bypass the Commerce Commission, here's the deal wrapped up in a big ribbon for you? Is that what they think they're going to try and achieve?
It's a pretty big assumption, isn't it? In everything else that the government here is dealing with a move to level two, with a budget described by many as the most significant budget in decades, to suddenly have the appetite or the ability to switch its mind to something like this, that's a pretty big call if you think that you can get that sort of decision from a government in those circumstances.
Other observers have said that 3 years of work has just been undone in the course of 90 minutes. I think it was Newsroom's Tim Murphy. Is that the way you read it? Or again, business being business, is there hopes of a revival at some point, or has this possibly just kiboshed things?
My experience is that, as I say, it can turn on a dial very quickly. I wouldn't even be surprised, quite frankly, if Nine Entertainment turned around, being so annoyed by it, and said, you know what, we'll do the reverse, actually. We'll take you over. We're a $2.6 billion business. You're valued at $49 million on the New Zealand Stock Exchange. In Australia, we run mastheads, we run websites, we run radio networks, exactly what you've got over here. You should never underestimate ego in business. We've seen media executives, including Rupert Murdoch, pushed into paying outrageous amounts for businesses or even sports rights, simply because they can't bear the thought that somebody else would take it from them. So the twist could be quite remarkable.
Yeah, there's a two-word phrase for that, and the second one is contest. However, they have been trying to get out of stuff, to exit the stuff assets for some time.
Well, they have. That's right. I mean, they've seen it as an issue for them. It's not a growth business. There's no real sense here in New Zealand. I think everybody would agree now with the pressures we've seen through the pandemic that it's going to be a troubled industry for a while. But again, it depends on, you know, what do you really need from your business, your expectations of one of your outlets in terms of its contribution to your underlying profit. And that could change fairly significantly.
Well, also, ironically, again, as the actual financial fortunes of the media tumble, their users, the interest of their users has soared through the roof. So, again, it's that age-old question of how you make money out of that. Now, speaking of giants, one is retiring, Alan Jones, from 2GB Breakfast, citing health reasons. Doctors told him to quit. Listeners will remember he got himself in hot water attacking the Prime Minister and telling him to put a sock in it, I think it was. And actually, the company had a go at him over that, penalised him over that. What's your take on this retirement after, goodness, how many decades at the top of the business there?
It's been 35 years on the airways. My take is good riddance. I think he's been a toxic character in Australian media for many years. A lot of Kiwis will remember Alan Jones was, of course, the coach of the Wallabies back in the day. And he and Peter Fitzsimons, who many people here know as well as a great Wallaby, who played under Alan, they've been at each other's throats for years. I mean, Alan's been a very powerful talkback host. Thankfully, we really don't have anybody like this in this country. He's been a bully of the airways. He's taken on particular interests and pushed government hard, particularly right-wing governments over there. The Liberals have often kowtowed to what was in terms of the audience right across Australia, a pretty small audience. So Alan's had an outsized power and an influence over that. And his comments about Jacinda Ardern were not the first time. There's long been suspicion he's got a strong misogynistic streak. He made some appalling comments about Julia Gillard when she was Prime Minister, saying her father died of shame for her behaviour. To be honest, I don't think there's anybody in Australia who'll be mourning the departure of Alan Jones. It's arguably something that Nine could have done last year or when he made those comments around Ardern.
My colleague has reminded me, he said the Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison should, quote, shove a sock down the throat, end quote, of the New Zealand Prime Minister. And again, it's a case of sometimes the landscape shifts on you and you haven't seen it happening when it comes to public taste and tolerance, including that of your employer. That appeared to be a moment. Very, very interesting observation indeed. Of course, he was very big on television as well, Sky Television, and Sky has taken rather a turn in the last 2 to 3 years, I have noticed, particularly in the evenings, when it comes to its guests and the tenor of their commentary.
Yeah, it's become very polarised, and it's gone down the path that we've seen from Murdoch Media in America with Fox News. a very strong sense of we'll take a partisan approach to it, and that's the side we'll push. I mean, the interesting thing about Alan Jones is from his very nice, comfortable property out in the countryside, New South Wales, he's been one of those who's been poo-pooing the behaviour around the pandemic, the shutting people down, saying it's a complete nonsense. So he's been one of those that said this is no more than the common cold, and I don't know why everybody's going on about this. So, you know, you're absolutely right that there have been many things changing in society that the likes of Alan have shown no interest in adapting to.
Yeah, and the question is for their owners and their bosses when the critical mass of audience moves along with those changing social mores as well. Yeah, yeah. Very, very interesting.
I'll just finish very quickly, if I may, because I know you've got to charge on. But there is some good news, and I really like the spin-off for those who follow it and their daily bulletin. On Friday's bulletin, they pointed out that they're hiring not one but two new full-time senior journalists and a full-time office manager, just as they've got their new political editor who's flown in from Canada, who's stuck in quarantine in Auckland. So in the midst of all this horror, there are still some little businesses who are hitting the market and finding an audience and finding financial support, and I think that's just a fantastic result.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, as always. Andrew Holden is our media commentator.